forget. Okay, and I'm gonna start. I have a screen over here, so sorry if I'd look away occasionally, but it's related to our, because I'm focused on our conversation. Okay, so let's see. First, I meant to confirm that you received the release form, which you've probably filled out many times. Okay, did you have any questions this time about it?
Nope, hopefully okay. I did it, right? I think I did do it in the last week.
Okay, yes. Thank you. If you didn't, yeah. Someone else will follow up with you about that. Let's see. Well, also, I guess just as a reminder, while we are the video recording today, ultimately only the audio will become part of the archive. And so as we have our conversation, for both of us to keep in mind that in the future, anybody who accesses this recording, it will be audio only. And so, you know, I may prompt you if for some reason or add commentary if there's something that you're signaling visually that a listener wouldn't be aware of. I think that, I mean, again, given that you've done a few of these, I think otherwise, we'll just get started. Do you have a hard stop? I know we have an hour on the calendar.
7:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to stop my backup recording and just double check that it worked, which you may or may not hear on your end.
Because I'm focused on our conversation.
Okay. Nobody likes to hear their own recorded voice. Okay.
I have that problem, actually.
You or do not.
Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess our voices in the echo chamber of our heads, yeah. Skulls sound different. And just at the very end, as a reminder, I will take a photo of you using Zoom. So let's start with introductions. I'm going to set the scene. I'm Maddie Russell Shapiro. I'm a volunteer interviewer for Oral History Summer School for their Educator Narrative Project, which is a longitudinal project tracking numerous educators and people whose work relates to education across geographies about their experiences during COVID. And today is Wednesday, September 1st, 2021. I am in San Francisco, California. COVID is, I think, the experience of COVID going on for much longer than we anticipated when this project started, although the intention was always to conduct interviews over the course of 2 years, but I don't think we anticipated that at this point in the project, we'd still be asking questions about how one's life is affected by COVID on an ongoing basis. So if I could ask you to introduce yourself for future listeners.
Sure. Well, it's great to meet you. I'm Adam Levinsky. And I don't remember how I've introduced myself previously, but I trained as an architect and then did a PhD in urban planning. And then my PhD focused on essentially school planning, the relationship between schools and neighborhoods. So a little bit different than many of the teachers that I know the Oral History Summer School is interviewing. Also a father of two school-age children. So certainly that's come up in our conversations about education and COVID. And then also a teacher in the sense that I've been an adjunct professor and actually just accepted a position to do even more teaching going forward at the graduate school level.
Great, thank you. So my questions or prompts today to kind of move for this conversation, you know, you're welcome to take in whatever direction you like, but as you'll probably notice, they're not going to necessarily be laser focused on your professional experience, although that's very much relevant. But at this point in the project, we are really interested also in capturing just kind of where people's minds are, what they're paying attention to. There's a lot happening in the world with COVID, beyond COVID. And so it's really more about this point in time. As you probably, one other thing I just neglected to say is, as I'm sure you know from previous interviews, I'm going to do my best not to talk over you. So some of my responses may seem slightly longer than in a natural conversation, but for the sake of the recording, don't want to miss anything that you say. So I thought where we would start is with a COVID-related question, which is just, how is COVID impacting your life professionally, personally, right now?
It's sort of, at a certain point, it sort of fuses with everything. And, you know, perhaps differently than it did a year ago. But in terms of my family life, my kids are gearing up to go back to school. My older child has not been in a school for a year and a half at high school level. My younger one went hybrid last year. So there's a lot of anticipation in the house right now, but I think mostly good anticipation. But it definitely, my younger one today had a kind of orientation at her school, and still a lot of unknowns. You know, I think she's at Sophie, my younger one is started the middle school last year, and despite everything, it went quite well. But some of the things that you gear up for in middle school as opposed to elementary school is being able to kind of move from class to class. And, you know, when she went in last year, they were in the same room, teachers would come to them. And this year, it sounds like it might be the same thing. So already a little bit of like deflation today, like, oh, we're still sitting in the same room. And, you know, but, you know, in the bigger picture, things could be worse. But so, but definitely a lot of anticipation around school. I am still working from home, partly because our office decided to leave our location, which had to do with being able to, or not being able to get the infrastructure in there to really have like an ability to have remote work the way we wanted to. It's sort of an antiquated building. So we're building out a new space about 10 blocks away. So we're all still basically remote in our office. So we're gearing up to meet actually the same day my kids go back to school. Our office is doing a lunch outside in the park, and there have been some limited gatherings, but we haven't had a kind of almost required, expected session with everybody to come back together. And of course, a lot of people have left. We've got a lot of new people. So it's really going to be kind of a remarkable session to think, you know, like here we are a year and a half later, you know, having an in, and it will be to the day, you know, March 13 is where, when our office shut down, when the school is shut down, and September 13th is when we're all regathering. It's pretty remarkable to reflect on coming up on that kind of 18-month point and just the patterns of living that, you know, our family has developed and the way our workflow has gone. And I think, you know, we're finally sort of figuring it out, you know, but it's been really, really fascinating and trying at various times. So COVID very much still present, you know. I think the kids are both due to go back to school 5 days a week. And so that'll change the nature of our apartment. We actually were in a very, very tiny two bedroom up until 6 months or so before COVID. And we managed to get the studio next door and knock a wall through so that we went from 700 square feet to, anyway, about 1,050 square feet. So it's like opening up, you know, it's like you have one of those dreams where you discover a new space. And that's what it was like for us. And it's just made an unbelievable difference during this time. And clearly, you know, lots of families in New York City, and I'm sure in San Francisco, that don't have much space. And like, you know, it's really been intense for people to figure things out. And we've had to do our own juggling. So, but our apartment will be a lot quieter, you know, when the kids start going back to school. So that'll be another little shift in the rhythm of our place.
I wonder, you mentioned patterns. I think you alluded to them both in terms of home life and work. I wonder if you could speak a little bit more about some of the patterns that have developed and solidified during these 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely, because I'm home a lot more, I'm cooking more for my family. So there are definitely some positive patterns. I'm exercising a lot more. You know, I'm generally sort of doing like 10 minutes of like a meditation thing a day. Like there's definitely a lot of healthier changes there. And I go on walks with my kids in the evenings, like probably a couple of times a week. So yeah, those things, I started drinking coffee. I never drank coffee before. So, I mean, I would like have the occasional like coffee, but no, it's like a morning routine now. So yeah, there've just been a lot of things. There's still some things that have fluctuated. Like I go through periods of reading a lot and then not reading as much. I'm on my phone more in a way than I was. So, you know, more check-ins with people at the office in a way that's a little bit more genuine. Like I meet, you know, almost weekly with like the staff I work closely with. And I think that's been really good. But there have been lots of ups and downs with, like, you know, staff who, you know, whether it's personally or making things work at the office, it's been very difficult. So there's been a need to do a lot more checking in. But those things are routines that will definitely stick, which is, you know, making sure they're one-on-one conversations and they're like have, you know, a respected place in the calendar, you know, as opposed to like, oh, something came up. You know, so that's been really good. So yeah, a little bit more intentionality around talking to people.
I'm thinking about how I think since your last interview, or maybe your last interview was right around the time of the quote unquote reopening, which, you know, was kind of staggered across the country, but that conceptually was, you know, latched onto, I think, pretty much nationwide, right? That COVID was, I don't know, some version of under control, or people were just tired of the restraint, you know, whatever, for different reasons, but like politically, right, there was the will to remove most, if not all, in some cases in a scaffolded way, in other places right away, the restrictions on our, that imposed on us. And due to COVID, and I know I've seen that New York and New York City, there seems to have been like a lot of marketing around this, you know, reopening, homecoming of, you know, so many celebrations and really marking the return of, you know, incrementally of cultural life and other things. And then kind of pretty much right in lockstep with that, or about 2 weeks behind, came the variants. And, you know, what we're referring to now is the Delta variant, with the Lambda variant on its heels. And we're still seemingly kind of coming to understand how contagious it is, how it transmits. There are breakthrough cases for people who've had one shot, two shots. Now we're kind of gearing up for a third round of shots for folks who are vaccinated and want to continue to be. And so I'm wondering if you could talk about kind of what your and your family's experience in New York City this summer has been in terms of the reopening and, you know, with the sort of parallel situation with the variance and what your life has been like as a result of those two things.
Yeah. I mean, and definitely my views and feelings have shifted. I mean, there was a brief window in the fall where my youngest daughter started to go back to school, probably in October. And then the school had some cases, and I think things shifted in the city, and she wound up probably doing about 5 weeks in person last fall, which was actually made a huge difference for her. And she had the experience of seeing kids on Zoom without masks, and then, which was good. And then she saw them with masks, and that kind of rounded things out. And that was really good. And I think when she did that, we were nervous, and my older daughter was particularly nervous, and she had kind of set up a pod with a couple of friends where they were very, very strict, and they had their own rules. And I think I talked about it in one of the interviews, where it was, you know, a lot of reversals in terms of sort of like who's making the rules and who's listening to who. And we really felt like we had to respect, you know, my older daughter's pod's rules, which was difficult at times. And so she was, you know, but the one thing that we insisted on was that our younger one was going to go to school, you know, during that time. And so we had that experience, and the numbers were kind of lower in October at that time, so it wasn't as much of a worry. And then my younger one started going back to school, I guess it was in January, and before we got vaccinated. And so that was, and the numbers were quite high at that time. So that was a little stressful, and like, you know, but still felt very important that like she was having that experience of going hybrid. And that was like, you know, that kind of reordering of priorities when you have children too is, you know, and of course, you know, we weren't seeing my parents, you know, because my younger one was back in school, and also my older one didn't want to keep our circle pretty limited. And then we weren't seeing the other grandparents, my wife's parents, because they're in London. So they've gone a very long time. They still haven't seen them. And so, yeah, we really had to prioritize. You know, the priority was, you know, my older daughter's pod and my younger daughter being able to go into school. And there wasn't much else beyond that, you know. And then springtime came and we got vaccinated. And that definitely felt like a shift, you know, and, you know, still a little bit of nerves, but yeah, started to get back out into the world, convincing our older daughter, who I think some of it was her pod's rules and some of it was probably anxiety, which, you know, lots of teenagers in particular have struggled with. But yeah, really started to get back out into the world. And then of course, you know, with the Delta variant, a bit of a shift. We're definitely not eating in restaurants, not going to movies, things that we had thought we were going to be able to get back to doing, but in the bigger picture, not a massive sacrifice. And yeah, masks back on for us, it's inside places, not as much outside. But yeah, there's just like a constant calibration going on. And, you know, as I'm sure you've experienced, everybody kind of setting their own rules and parameters. And I think that has ripples to like, not just, you know, masks, no masks. It's like the way people drive and bike and walk in the city. Like, I feel like, I don't know how it is in the Bay Area, but like totally shifted. People don't stop at red lights in the way they used to. Like, you know, I mean, not in like insane ways, but in just like I just feel like there's a kind of people making their own judgments around things, which is kind of fascinating and really worrying. There's actually like, there are a couple of places in the Netherlands, because you know, I'm an urban planner, I don't just do school stuff. There's a place in the Netherlands where they've stopped using traffic signals. And it's like all about like getting people to be really aware when they approach an intersection. And so it's like, you know, some of that's really good, like if we are self-calibrating, and then some of it is like horrible when we all have different norms and sensibilities. So that's, you know, and within our own family, different norms and different sensibilities and different levels of concern. And, you know, I think, you know, my oldest daughter was probably the most serious, and then probably me and my younger daughter as like the next serious. And then my wife was probably more laid back than us. But that's not to say anybody's right or wrong, you know? So anyway, yeah, all about like the self-calibration, calibrating with family, you know, and then friends and extended friends, and it's quite a process. I don't know if I answered your question. I can't remember exactly what, but it's been a nutty time, right? Really nutty.
I would love to hear an example of this calibration process. Is there something maybe recently where this came up just for you or between you and a member of your family, or that you observed with some other people that you were privy to?
I mean, there's probably something almost every day. I mean, there was, you know, in early July, we had like friends from the Bay Area come to visit, and it was like a massive celebration. You know, we went out to eat and it was amazing. We hadn't seen them in a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And it was that moment where the numbers were really low and everybody was feeling really great. And then it was like, you know, probably 2 weeks later, I was like, oh, this is not headed the right direction. And so, yeah, I was basically like, I'm not going to eat inside a restaurant anymore. And of course, we have a couple of times, we took a crazy family trip up to Niagara Falls, and which was really sweet, and kind of like a classic family vacation. But they're like in Niagara Falls, there's not a lot of street side cafes, you know, and so we wound up eating inside, and it was fine. They actually had a we went there because online they advertised that they had a kind of outdoor deck to sit on, and we showed up, and we're like, you know, we'd love to sit on the deck, and the waiter was like, well, it's kind of closed. You're like, well, what does that mean, it's closed? That's why we came. And he's like, well, there's a bit of a bee issue out there. Oh. We're kind of tough. We'll check it out. And we went out to the deck, and I felt so bad because the waiter was like showing us around, and immediately there were like 12 bees like circling around. Like there was clearly a hive underneath the deck, which I don't know why they hadn't gotten an exterminator out there. But it, you know, like that kind of calibration was like, okay, I think we're going to eat outside. Like we're not going to sit amongst the bees and, or make our waiter, you know, travel amongst the bees. But yeah, I mean, that's like a kind of basic example. But you know, like the camp that my kids were going to go to this summer, which is actually where Suzanne and I met many, many years ago, where she was a counselor there. And I was the director of the camp. But that got canceled, and it was really disappointing. And last summer, I kind of helped with the program there to do an online camp, which was great. And they thought about doing it again, and not very few people wanted to do it again online. It was like the world's opening up, you know, for a number of reasons. They didn't open in person, which is a real shame, but there was clearly no similar kind of drive to do anything online. So my kids have had a pretty quiet summer, you know, aside from the crazy trips to Niagara Falls and like some little road trips around here. So that's, you know, that's, it definitely had a huge impact on our summer, you know, and typical summer situation.
Could you provide an example of what you observed in your older daughter regarding what you characterize as her anxiety related to managing COVID protocols, if I understood you correctly? Well, I don't know if it's protocols, but just the anxiety that you've observed in her that you identify as being related more to the COVID situation than perhaps just the fact of being a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's interesting because she's not ever, at least to our understanding, been much of a hypochondriac, you know, like she's, and so some of the things were like going outside and like, you know, clearly not wanting to walk near other people. And this is, you know, New York City, so there's a lot of people around, you know, or for a stretch we were going jogging together. And even at a point where they're like, outside's kind of okay, wanting to keep a mask on, which is not fun to jog in. And so some of it was like her personal behavior outside. And then some of it was like really heightened concern about what we were doing, you know, and like really wanting us to be clear about what we were doing outside the house. And, you know, and if we were seeing, this is, you know, me and my wife, if we were seeing friends, like we were not going in their house, like, you know, what are you going to do if you have to go to the bathroom, you know? So, yeah. So, and we're like, we're going to go to the bathroom, we'll walk in with a mask, you know? And so there were just, yeah, a lot of tensions around that. You know, my younger daughter having a friend, she had one friend that was kind of like, you know, could go inside their house. And like, we kind of, you know, checked in with their parents, kids' parents about it. But then there was another friend that we thought about doing that with. That friend would come over to the other kid's house as well. And so there was a lot of tension around like, are you seeing this kid? And like, you know, and just like, you know, well, if you see that kid, then I have to quarantine for 2 weeks and I can't see my pod members because that's the rules we have. And trying to understand that, like, is it someone in the pod? Is it one of the pod members' parents? They kicked out one of the kids in their pod. You know, there were four of them originally, and then there were three because one kid didn't observe some of the protocols, which was, I think, really tough for that kid. They're still friends, so all is good. But like, you know, for the kids to, you know, it was a little Lord of the Flies, you know, like, so yeah, there were definitely some, intense conversations, and us really trying to plead with her to like bring it down a notch, you know, like things are going to be okay. So again, most of that went away with the vaccinations, and they were, luckily my younger one turned 12, and I do, like, you know, I think about families, you know, with kids under 12, like going back to school, I'd be pretty nervous about that, you know, not necessarily, I mean, obviously there's breakthrough cases, but for the kids themselves, like that's, you know, there's a lot of tension, I'm sure, in the city that I don't share as much because my whole family is, you know, we're all vaccinated, but that's, you know, and I know, you know, younger kids who've gotten COVID recently. So yeah, those were some of the issues that came up.
And what have you observed since she was vaccinated about what has changed in for her in terms of her, I mean, yeah, her life? Like,
yeah. Well, the thing that she missed the most was swimming, you know, and that's, you know, and that's been amazing to see, actually. You know, she went probably 16 months without being in a pool. She's always loved swimming. She's been on a swim team since she was 8. She's a good swimmer, but she was never like overly committed, you know, just like enjoyed the practices, didn't really love the swim meets. And all she thought about was like getting back into a pool. Like, so for her, that really became a big focus. And so since, I would say May, she started like the YMCA opened back up, and then the team started practicing, and she's unbelievably into it now. Like just like the passion that she's bringing to the swimming is amazing. And it's very cool to see a kid, whether it's like art or writing, or like, you don't actually, like as a parent, like I guess you don't really know what's gonna hit them. And like, it doesn't really matter where she takes it long-term, but like, she's seriously obsessed with swimming now. You know, she's like swimming every day, she's working out. So that's been, I mean, lots of things have shifted for her, but that's been like the most striking thing to see. That is just like this huge awakening around like being in the water. But that's been very cool.
I wonder if now perhaps, I'm going to lead us in a transition to getting back to some of the things you said earlier about your work, your office, your colleagues. And I had a couple follow-up questions about what's happening there and kind of the effects of COVID, not just to date, but kind of at this point in time, looking forward. You know, you mentioned that you're moving offices because your existing office really didn't support safe protocols and that you're designing new space. So maybe, and then I know you mentioned that you all are about to reconvene. I'm curious about that. But maybe we'll start with the physical space, since you're an architect, trained architect, among other things. How will this new office be? What about this new office will be a direct result of COVID?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. We're shifting offices, not because of the protocols of the building, but because we couldn't get in there to change the infrastructure for our networking. So enabling people to, so our broadband wasn't strong enough. And like, it was very difficult to upgrade in that building. So that was really like fundamental. We had to shift because it was, you know, we were trying to set up all these remote connections. We're about 50 people. So our new office will have really good, internet services, but, we're not setting up, desks for everybody. We're assuming that people will keep working, in a hybrid fashion, out of choice. Like if people want to work 5 days a week in the office, they definitely can arrange to do that. And so in a way, like, the flexible working environment is kind of something that people can take advantage of. We've got desks if they need it. But the sense is that most people will be in 2 or 3 days a week. So that will be really interesting to see. And like, the idea was to start that this fall, but A, there's the Delta variant, and B, our construction is going slow. So that's a huge shift. And I think we've become much more laid back. Certainly we were not promoters of remote working a year and a half ago. And that's, you know, changed, and our perspectives have really, really changed on that. We do still wanna have some face-to-face, you know, time with people, especially in the design work, where so much of it is looking at drawings together. But there are a lot of things about the design of the space that we're looking at as well. Like, clearly lots more spaces for people to make Zoom calls. We were a totally open plan office with, you know, for 50 people with 2/3 meeting spaces, you know, and now we'll have, I think, you know, probably 4 small meeting rooms, and then another, I think it's 4 or 6 sort of little pod areas to have, you know, private Zoom calls, conversations. So I think people's tolerance for noise around them is going to be completely different. You know, like, I'm very, very used to being in a quiet space to do my work. Luckily, because, you know, we expanded our apartment just in time. And so there's no way I could sit at my desk like I used to. I just sat, you know, in an open plan office and did calls. People did calls next to me. We kind of you know, probably irritated each other a little bit, but like we have such a heightened sensitivity to that now. So the design of the office has changed, you know, the amount of time that people will be in there will definitely change. I think we won't have like a large meeting room. We used to have meeting space for like meetings that might incorporate 20 people who came from different offices, you know, for big collaborative meetings. I don't think anybody expects to go to those meetings very often anymore, and they'll do them on Zoom. And if we do need to do one of those meetings once a month or once every 2 months, we'll rent a space for it. So that's been the kind of way we've got more of the other kinds of spaces. You know, we're basically square footage is similar to what we had before, but we're gonna have lots more meeting rooms and closed spaces, you know, small Zoom pod spaces, no large meeting room spaces, and a few less desks, better kitchen space, and like more amenities in a way. So, you know, I guess like a little bit more attentiveness to people's personal space and personal needs, both in terms of in the office and its design, but also the kind of flexibility that we have. I mean, that's like, you know, clearly the way, you know, I think we, and I say we, like the part, my partners, you know, are approaching things is very different than a year and a half ago. So yeah, I'm sure there are other physical attributes and design of the office that will shift, but you know, ventilation, we're gonna put in a new ventilation system in the space. So some of those things will be there as well. But I think there's much more emphasis on the like the flexibility. So if people are nervous or whatever, they want to work from home, they'll be able to do that most of the time. And then in the space, like just, you know, people have gotten used to their own way of working in their own spaces. So like, how do you do that when we're all, you know, in a space together?
I'm curious, in this forward planning and all this, you know, you just described myriad ways that you're thinking about the physical space, and then also essentially kinds of, I don't know if they're even considered accommodations at this point, they used to be considered accommodations, but just more comfortable with a hybrid, people not in the office for every working hour. I wonder to what extent, if any, you and your you know, the other leaders of your company are thinking about policies, expectations, new standards regarding people coming into work when they're sick, coming into the office. Then like how that might be different now.
Oh yeah, like stay away. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I think we've always been pretty good about like, if people don't feel well, like stay at home. But now it's like really, really emphasizing it with people, for sure. You know, we do have a small space now, which is in our new office. There's an area that's sort of cordoned off, that's separate from where the construction is, that seats about 12 people. And because we have people who don't have like a good space at their apartment, so we needed to do that. And so there have been people who have pretty much been working throughout COVID, you know, in our spaces, you know, as low a number as maybe 3, and now probably closer to 10. But 2 weeks ago, one of them got COVID, you know, and he had just come back to working in the space for probably about 10 days. And he had already had COVID once, and he was vaccinated, and he didn't have a great experience with COVID the first time he had it. The second time, it hasn't been so bad. But, you know, clearly he had exposed everybody in the space. Nobody has tested positive. So this is probably 2 weeks ago. So I think that was interesting. And everybody he was around was vaccinated. You have to be vaccinated to be in our office, you know, now in the smaller space, but also the permanent space. We're going to require that. So yeah, definitely there's going to be a lot more working from home if you like sneeze, you know, and that is just fine. I think the bigger questions have been questions around people who have left the city and have moved to other parts of the country, and if and how we address them coming back, you know, and how important, you know, in some cases with architecture, it's like, you know, you need to visit a site, you know, it's a construction site, and, you know, so there are some complications that we're dealing with. You know, there are also different tax and HR issues in different places. So I definitely know a lot more about that stuff. So, and some of that stuff isn't totally resolved yet. So yes, still working through that. But that's a big question, which is like, how dispersed do we want to be? Fine to have like, you know, high degree of flexibility. You know, we definitely, I think we'll have a policy about people for certain chunks of time being able to go work anywhere in the world, you know, as long as they set it up in advance. So this idea of like living elsewhere as a permanent thing may be a challenge for us, because there are times where you need to meet a client in person or at a site in person. But the idea that you could set up a good chunk of time where you can be elsewhere, you know, we have a lot of people who are from other parts of the world too, so they have real needs. Some of it's the fantasy of being like on an island and on your laptop. And then some of it is people who have family in Australia, whatever. So figuring out how to accommodate those things in new ways is good. And it's, you know, it's exciting that way. So definitely it's all been very mind expanding this time.
And regarding the decision about, could you talk more about the decision regarding mandating vaccination for returning to the office and the extent to which that has led to any turnover on your staff?
It hasn't. I think there may be one person who is choosing not to get vaccinated, and they haven't been in New York City. So that's something that we'll have to tackle. But luckily it hasn't been an issue yet. And so, you know, we haven't like talked about what it means to have someone who is coming into the office as a visitor and things like that. I don't think we're gonna set up clear protocols around that. Like, you know, whether that person has to send us a negative test or, you know, or they have to be vaccinated. So we haven't really thought everything through yet. We've been much more focused on our own staff. But yeah, I definitely know, I mean, you know, we work a lot with city agencies, and they, to my knowledge, I think the shift that's occurring now is, for a while they weren't mandating vaccinations. Now I think they're mandating vaccinations or testing once a week, you know. So there are definitely a lot of interesting things, yeah, starting to happen, you know, partly with the FDA approval.
I guess I have a couple more questions, and I am keeping an eye on the time. One question is looking back and one is looking forward, but I think the one looking forward follows more closely on what you just said. You have an upcoming staff gathering, you said September 13th. I gather that's about 50 people, or at least that's the size of your, I understand not everybody has returned to New York, but how do you plan, how has COVID affected planning this staff gathering?
Yeah. I think I was just like doing a sort of a run of show of it last night and trying to get feedback. I think we'll meet outside. You know, initially we were going to meet in the new space, even though it's not completed. But I think we're going to meet in a park nearby. And, you know, I think we're going to have some kind of structured reintroductions to each other and introductions, a lot of new people coming on board. In fact, we timed it. So I think there are three new people starting that day. So they're going to have like a whole experience of like, oh, this is what life sort of should be like, which is meeting people in person on my first day on the job. But I think we'll, you know, we'll have breakout groups, you know, sitting in different areas of the park, at least is my initial vision of it. And we'll have some kind of exercise for people to introduce themselves, and then they'll rotate and they'll have a different exercise and they'll introduce themselves in a different way. And then we'll send them off in groups to tour the new space, but I think there are some other things too, like, you know, I'm hoping, you know, we'll be able to announce some new initiatives. We have been working on a new employee handbook, which has some of this like policy stuff in it. You know, we have been doing a lot of things since the Black Lives Matter movement erupted, that, you know, we've been working with a group that has been having sessions with our office as a whole. So there might be some kind of initiative that's grown out of that work. We may not know exactly what that is yet, but so there, you know, it's reintroductions, it's new ways of working together. It's like thinking through more deeply some of the other issues beyond COVID, you know, around equity and inclusion that have touched us a lot. We probably shouldn't try to do too much at that session, but it's definitely going to be interesting. People, you know, I think people will be excited, but people are also tired. The COVID thing has gone on a long time. So trying to figure out like how to make it exciting, even though we're not going all back into this new office space, it's still going to be under construction and COVID is still with us. So I don't know. I don't want it to be a false beginning. But we need to do something, you know, like we haven't seen each other as a group in person in 18 months. So we have to reconnect, even though it's not going to be like the next day we're all just showing up at the office. So we might have to do something like, you know, again in 2 months after that too, to, you know, bring everybody back together.
In talking about this upcoming gathering, you also mentioned a couple times stuff to do with what I'm inferring is kind of a response of your company to another thing in parallel with COVID. But as you said, the kind of revitalization of the Black Lives, the movement for Black Lives. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about, you mentioned diversity and inclusion and kind of what about that is being discussed, addressed, raised in your company?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I don't think we know all of the pieces of how it has and will change our approach. There are things that we did dating back to last fall, you know, about that were really around transparency, included like a sort of salary sort of transparency. You know, we did a study and looked back 5 years. It was more focused on gender, but we presented it to the office and crunched a lot of numbers and had a discussion around that. You know, we created more clarity around salary bands, like, you know, sort of like by position, and worked on more clarity around job roles. Some ways, like, it doesn't seem like it's all about equity. Some of it's just good practice, to be honest. And I think a lot of it, a lot of what we're trying to do is probably just plain good practice, you know, which is like, how do you communicate better? How do you be more transparent about information? How do you bring people along for some things that not everybody can participate in, like our hiring practices? How do you be more caring for people? And we're not like a seriously profit motivated company, but we can be a little perfectionist in our work in terms of, and so there's sometimes there's a disconnect between like how we want, and this is partly about architecture, but partly about the planning work. And a lot of our planning work has equity baked into it. But that equity is about like the people we're working for and with. And so we'll work super, super hard on like, you know, these planning projects externally. And then at the same time, we need to internalize it. It's like, well, we're working way too hard, or the way we're working needs to be different. So some of it is like, how do we extend the passion for the kinds of work that we're doing and like getting those things right in all sorts of ways to like how our internal processes are better. So, you know, yeah, but a lot of it is like basic stuff around communication, you know, and transparency issues, and some of it's hiring practices. We've been, I think, in some ways, good about our hiring practices, but not always bringing people along enough so they can kind of see the kinds of ways we're approaching it. And anyway, so yeah, there's not sort of one thing I would point to there, but it certainly had a big impact on our office in some ways, as much as COVID. Maybe not as, I don't know, but it definitely had a big impact.
Yeah, I think a lot of institutions, places of employment are going through this process of learning about or trying out what it's like to inform people more about decision-making process. I mean, that's not the all of it, but it seems like in a lot of this sometimes, because the leaps of imagination or the assumptions and then the side conversations related to those that kind of, and so intention can become so muddled and misinterpreted. Well, that sounds like something for us to come back to in future conversations for sure. With you. As we start to wrap up, maybe we could finish with sort of like a preview for a future conversation, should there be another one, if you have, you know, decide to continue to participate, which we hope you will. And that is what I know prior conversations have focused on much more, how your work intersects with education. And I wonder if you could just talk about kind of what your work you're doing now, or what projects you anticipate taking on or that are forthcoming or that are going to be, you know, evolving in some way that specifically relate to schools.
And so some of it we're still working out the final pieces of, but we have been working with, and I think it's going to get a lot more intense, working with the School District of Philadelphia. And that some of it, depending on the timing, we'll see how much I'm able to talk about. But I think all of the things that you just mentioned, which is like, how do we make information and decision-making processes more transparent? That's a huge, huge piece of it. We're working now with Montgomery County Public Schools, and that's a second phase of work. It's all on data transparency and sort of accountability that the district's taking on. With Philadelphia, it has to do with their facilities and facility planning. And then working potentially with a number of districts in New York City with up to three community school districts on state integration planning grants. Mm-hmm. And so that is a little bit less focused on transparency and more focused on sort of communication and some decision-making around some policies. So potentially a lot of work coming up in the next few months on school stuff. But actually, I'm glad we didn't talk about it today, because like most of it is kind of nascent. And so, I mean, the Montgomery County school stuff is about to be launched. So, hopefully the next round we can swing back to that stuff.
Super. Okay. Well, I think I want to make sure we end on time. So unless there's anything else that you want to say, I'm going to take your photo, but is there anything that you were hoping to tell us today that we didn't get to in our conversation?
That was perfect.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Let's see if I can make this work. So, is this going? Yes. Okay. Perhaps I'll count to three, like in a real photo. So 1, 2, 3. And I'm going to do another one so that make sure your eyes are, get one with your eyes open. 1, 2, 3. Yes. Eyes open. Okay. I learned that the first time. Anyway, I ended up just doing is like a screen grab from the video, but I felt so badly that I hadn't double checked before. Okay. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for your time, continuing to participate and make yourself available. We're so grateful. As you know, following this, possibly right away, but otherwise within the next day or two, you'll get an email from WeTransfer with all these files. So if you want to download any of this, you'll have a week to do so. And then Jenny or someone else from the Oral History Summer School team will be in touch when they gear up for the next phase or anything else that comes up in the meantime. Really nice to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you as well. Thanks,
Adam. Bye.
Bye.